My dad loved to proclaim the good news of the gospel. In his message today, The Beauty of the Lord speaks to the beauty of God in and upon his people. Attributes of faith, humility, patience, meekness, and love. We hope this program will be uplifting to you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And I'm all so happy every week the week goes by. I look forward to being with you. And I know that some of you worship with us every weekend. And you're in apartments, and you're in houses, and you're in the trucks, and you're all over the world. And some of you are in tents probably, and God only knows. But the Holy Spirit goes with the Holy Word of God and ministers to all of us. And it's a great, great joy. Today we're going to be talking about the beauty of the Lord. And I know you're going to like it. You're going to be blessed by it. But before that, I want to read some of the letters. We just want to thank you for writing to us. And you get your pencil and paper ready. And at the end of the service, I'll give you the address. We'd just love to hear from you. Where do you live? What do you do? What is your joy? Maybe a sorrow. Just share with us, and then we can pray with you and think with you folks. The first letter we're taking today is from Superior, Wisconsin. And this is a lady that writes. She said, I've been listening to you now for at least 10 years. I never get tired of your services. You have been there for me through the loss of my husband and later the loss of my son, both to cancer. Thanks to God for using you in the Christian Worship Hour to reach me and others worldwide with his love. May God continue to use you so more will know of his saving grace. And that's exactly it. We have many people that can't get out. We just have people that worship with us. And in a time of sorrow, in a time of decision, and when we preach the word of God, he uses that word to guide us and bless and to help us. Oh, it is just wonderful to preach the gospel of the good news. Here's a letter from Penbrook, Texas. I heard you tell of a book you have about committing suicide. I had a grandson who was a Christian commit suicide in 2008. I thought he went to hell, but you said in this book that not all who commit suicide go to hell. Please send me the book. And you are exactly right. If you are a Christian and you commit suicide, you'll go to heaven. And we've got it from the Word of God. It's not what word of man or what I supposed or dreamed or had a vision or some dumb thing. It's the Word of God. And it's simply teaching us that if we've accepted Jesus Christ, even if we commit suicide, we are saved. And you write to us, get your pencil and paper. I'm going to give it to you at the end of the service. And just say suicide book, and we'll send it to you. It's about 12 pages. And if you can send a gift to help us, all right. And if you don't have a penny, like if some people in prison, we'll send it anyway, free and postpaid. We'll do it till we go broke, and then I don't know, we'll worry about that when we get there. Let's see, here's Fontadour, North Carolina. Thank you for reminding us that Jesus holds on to us and will never let us go if we have been saved, even if we sometimes fall. Praise the name of Jesus. John 10, John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. He holds us. We don't hold him. I don't hold on to Jesus. Jesus holds on to me. And I love him and I trust him and he'll never let me go. And as one old farmer told me, he says, when Jesus gets a hold of us and holds us, his grip don't slip. And you're just as secure. You're as good as in heaven when you accept Jesus. Let's see. Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I prayed to give all my sin to Jesus. I would like to get information to start me with walking with Jesus. And wherever you are, if you write to us anywhere in the world, we'll send you literature to help you get started in the Christian life. And just write to us and say, I accepted Jesus. And we'll send you information right away. One more letter. And this is Hungry Horse, Montana. And this man is a man that writes, please pray for me. I love and trust God, but feel I'm not worthy. You know, my friend, I want to tell you something. We all feel that way. None of us are worthy. None of us are worthy. Every one of us deserve the hell forever and ever. But God in his love and his mercy, and God because he cares for us, sent his son to die for our sins. And he took all of our sins and paid for them with his own blood on the old rugged cross. And he was buried and was in the grave 3 days and three nights. But the third day he rose from the dead and he lives forever. And when we go to that Jesus, we're all unworthy, every one of us. And we say, dear Jesus, I don't deserve this salvation and I don't deserve any heaven, but I ask you to please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll follow you the best I can, Jesus. And you won't be perfect, but you strike out walking with him and thank him. And you're his child. And we'll send you literature a little bit later. So all these letters, I hope that many of you will write, especially our shortwave people all over the world. Next week, I've got a letter from a short person from Trinidad in the West Indies. And it's by shortwave radio. And we just love to have you all write in and hear from so many of you. But let's look at this. This is about the beauty of the Lord. It's taken from Psalm chapter 90. It's a beautiful psalm, and it's the oldest of all of the psalms. We know that because it's a psalm of Moses. It's a psalm, I mean, really, it's a prayer of Moses. And he talks about this wonderful greatness of God and how we can trust him and how this God is our refuge and he's our friend and he's our help. And then he talks all a wonderful, wonderful God. And then he closes his prayer and he praises it in verse 17. And he said, Moses prays, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. That the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Now, the beauty referred to here does not mean the beauty of God in himself, but it means the beauty of God on us, on his people. It's just like how that we are like the moon, and the moon is cold and it's dark and it's black and it's cold, and then the sun shines upon it and through it, and we have the harvest moon. And what's more beautiful than the harvest moon? And that's what God takes us. We're all unworthy, and we're all covered with sin, and we're on our way to hell, and we call on his name, and whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And he saves us, and he shines through us, and that's the beauty of the Lord our God. You know, Jesus talked about the same thing in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so he shines through us when we have him in our heart, and we should be a light to the Lord Jesus. That's the beauty of the Lord. Well, let's first of all look at this beauty of the Lord. It comes in so many different ways. For instance, look at the faith of Abraham, the beauty of the Lord God shown through him, through his great faith. We read of God calling Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. He says, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and out of thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Early in his life, Abraham has a beautiful faith. And he left his home, and he left his friends, and he left his country, and he went out through the wilderness, and the marauding tribes in the wilderness could have killed him and his wife and his children. But Abraham believed God, and he went through the wilderness, and he came to the promised land, and God gave him that promised land. And so you see the great faith of Abraham. He just believed God. And that faith also shows up how he had so much faith. In Genesis chapter 22, God tells him, take your son Isaac, your wonderful son that you'll have your whole heart set in, and you take him to Mount Moriah, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. And Abraham took him there, and he was going to sacrifice him, and Abraham believed that God would raise him from the dead. That's what we're told in Hebrews. That great, wonderful faith of Abraham, it's beautiful, and it shines through his people when we trust him and love him and follow him. Or take the patience of Job. And you all know about Job and all of his troubles and trials and how he lost all of his property and he lost all of his animals and he lost his home and he lost his sons and he lost his daughters, all in death, and his wife, and then he lost his health and he lost his reputation. And his wife came to him, "Job, you can't take much more. Why don't you just curse God and die?" And Job said, "I'll never give up on God." He said, "Though he slay me, I will trust him." Isn't that beautiful? It just shines. That's the beauty of the Lord shining through Job. Or look at Joseph. And in the Joseph story, we have this man. And his brothers are jealous of him. And so they sell him into slavery, and the Ishmaelites come, and they sell him to the slave traders, and they take the slave traders, take him into Egypt. And you know the story, and he's put in prison, and he's falsely accused, and all of these horrible things that his brothers did to him. And then he's elevated to a high place, and he's next to the Pharaoh of all of Egypt. And then he meets his brothers. They come because they're looking for food. And they, when they find out it's Joseph, they said, "He's going to kill us all." And Joseph forgave them freely. And isn't that beautiful? The beauty of the Lord God shining through Joseph is he forgives his brothers. Beautiful. And then look at the meekness of Moses. Moses, we're told in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3, the man Moses was very meek above all the men who were born on the face of the earth. He was the meekness of Moses. And Jesus, we're told the same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. Jesus was meek and gentle. Now, don't mistake meekness for weakness, because it has nothing to do with it at all. Meekness means when we're meek, we are humble and we are patient and we are totally submissive to the will of God. We're meek. We never strike back. We never question God unless it's we have some great trial comes in our life or something happens, and we don't ask him why it happened. You ask him, "Dear God, what are you trying to teach me? Am I too proud? Should I be more weak? Should I be more gentle? Should I be more forgiving? Just what do you want me to see?" But never question the providence of God. And this man, Moses, how he shines. And this wonderful Moses, he shows his in him. He's meek and he's gentle. And meekness means our attitude toward God. And gentle means our attitude toward people. And Moses had it, and it was the beauty of Jesus shining through Moses, although Jesus was still in his pre-incarnate form. Or take another look. Look at this man, Elijah, and how he stands up against the king, the wicked king and queen, Ahab and Jezebel. And he stands all alone on Mount Moriah, and he stands there for God, and he will not yield. He is going to be bold for God. And though all of them stand against him, and Elijah stands all by himself, he's standing for God, and he says, "There is one God, and I'm going to pray, and fire will come from heaven." And it came, and it burned the stones, and it burned the water, and it burned the altar, and it burned the wood, and it burned the sacrifice. This great God, bold, he stood, Elijah stood boldly for God. And friends, there's times you're going to have to stand for the Lord. And you young people, we hear from young people all the time. God bless you. I think the hardest time in life is in when you're a teenager and you have to face this wonderful the teen pressure, and they're all talking against you, and you have to stand alone. And they want you to take the liquor, and they want to take the drugs and the illicit sex and all the rest of it, and you be bold, and it's beautiful when young people, and we have them, young people stand up for God, and they stand all alone like a giant, like Elijah. Or then look at John, the gospel writer John. And he's known for a lot of things, but he's known for one thing especially, his love, his wonderful love. And when Jesus wanted somebody to take care of his mother, who did he pick of all the 12 apostles? Who did he pick? John, the disciple of love. And God is love. And when we show love and kindness unto all, we can walk with God and show that beauty of the Lord. The beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. That's what we want. And it comes in a thousand different ways. And then something else about this beauty of the Lord. It is growing. It grows as time goes by. The growth is like the growth of corn. First the blade, then the stalk, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. It's like the growth of trees. It's a seedling, and then it's a young tree, fenced about and protected from the rabbits. And then it's a large, beautiful tree with arching branches and home for the birds and shelter for man. That's what it is, this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful love of Christ, and the beautiful beauty of Christ shines. It grows with us. But let me tell you something that's sad, sad, sad. There are these Christians that have been 30, 40 years they've been a Christian, and they're nothing but a bunch of big babies. They didn't grow a bit. And when you take a little baby and hold it in your arms, oh, you just love to cuddle that little baby and love that little baby and kiss that little baby. Oh, that little baby. But when those babies are 40 years old, you want to kick them someplace, don't you? They're little spiritual monsters is what they are. They never grew a bit. They're just the same babies. And you baby them. And like one pastor told me, he says, I got a church. And he says, I got a bunch of those babies. He says, I got a bunch of my church that just like balloons. I don't know which one's going to blow up next. That's those babies are. They all, you have to cuddle them. You have to take care of them. You hurt their little feelings. And somebody look cross-eyed at them. And maybe they naturally are cross-eyed and they can't help it. But you don't know that. And they didn't look at you just right. And your little old feelings are hurt. Well, bully for you. Get straightened out and grow up. And you don't show any beautiful things. When you're if they are ugly, they look ugly to us. How must they look to God? They must look ugly, ugly. So grow up and become strong in the things of the Lord. And I want to tell you this too. When we do the beauty of the Lord, we grow in faith, in humility, in patience, in gentleness, in kindness, in love, in self-control. And we become the pillars in the church. And we become the strong leader in the home, you men. And you're leading your little flock, your beautiful little family to God, leading them along. But it all takes time. A little bit more. First the twilight, and then the silver dawn, and then the blazing of the day. So never give up. I ask you, dear friends, today, how long have you been a Christian? Does your life reflect the beauty of the Lord Jesus? Are you a blessing to your family, to your wife or your husband, to your friends, to your church, to your pastor? Are you growing in the beauty of the Lord? And then something else about the beauty of the Lord. It is unfading, unfading. Earthly beauty grows until it reaches full bloom, and then it starts to fade. We know that, and we don't like to accept it. We don't like to accept that process of getting to be old. Wait till you're 96. And so what do? We get stuff to stop our wrinkles. Now, don't get mixed up. I don't pay a penny on my looks. And you say, well, you look like a two. Well, that's just too bad. But they get to buy stuff to stop the wrinkles. Then they get things to keep their hairs from falling out. And they get their pills that they take so they keep parts of the body from sagging. And they find to put a fortune in a stop trying to stop a process. And that process, you're getting older and the bloom is going to be there and it's going to fade. And it's going to be gone, but not the beauty of the Lord. The beauty of the Lord, that's why some old wrinkled people and all stooped over are the most beautiful people in the world, because Christ is in their lives and shining in their light. That's what we've worked. As a matter of fact, the beauty of the Lord within us shines brighter and brighter as we get older, and the old body starts to crumble and it starts to give way. And that beauty of the Lord only becomes brighter. The older outer man dies, but the inner man gets stronger, see? That's the process. That wonderful beauty of the Lord lingers long upon the earth, and it remains forever in heaven, the beauty of the Lord. The beauty of the Lord is hidden to the one who has it, though. The one who has it, you'll never, ever notice it, will never, ever know it. And they'll live for the Lord, but they won't show it. They won't see it. See, it's like here's, they don't realize they have it. Here's a young lady. She's the daughter, and she is at the bedside of her dying mother. She meets her mother's needs all every day. Her every desire is to help and take care of that mother by that daughter. Until death, she labors for her mother. She wouldn't take the throne of England to take the place of her mother. And see how beautiful that girl is? She's beautiful, looks like an angel, and she doesn't know it. She doesn't realize it. And when you have these people, you see, you have to be careful, because if we strive for that beauty of the Lord, then we become like the Lord. But we have to be careful, because we have to be, you know, sometimes we think that we're so humble and so nice. And when people tell me, oh, I'm just serving the Lord in my humble little old way, I say, uh-oh, watch out. We got a proud baby here. We got a proud one here. When you're really humble, when you really love the Lord, you never know it, but it's there. It's like Moses. And what do we read about Moses? He went to Mount Sinai. And when he came back from Mount Sinai, we're told that he wist not that his face shone. His face was aglow. His face was shining. His face was brilliant. And he didn't know it. And that's what God is saying about these people. Their faces are shining for the Lord. They're beautiful with the light of the Lord. And when they shine, they're not aware of it. You see, they're like the beauty of the stars. They're not aware of that. The beauty of the rainbows and the beauty of the flowers and the beauty of the birds and the beauty of the children, little beautiful children, they don't realize it, but it is there, shining to the glory of God. And so it's not a halo that all the world can see, but the wonderful love of God, or the kindness of God, or whatever it is, it's going to be in our life and it's going to be seen. Albert Osborne prays it like this: let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all of his passion and purity. O thou Spirit divine, may all my nature refine till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. And you say, yes, yes, yes. That's what I want. I want to have the beauty of Jesus. I'll tell you where you start. You have to be born again. You have to ask Jesus. You can't do it by yourself. And then you just ask Jesus to come into your heart. And Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in. And so you say, dear Jesus, just please come into my heart. Take away my sin. And dear Jesus, I'll follow you the best way I can. And thank you, Jesus. You just pray that. Now, if you pray that, you write to us. And I'm going to give the address right now. Christian Worship Hour. Get it down here, see. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. All of you shortwave people, get this. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. And now if you write to us, we'll send you literature to help you in the Christian life. In the meantime, you read the Gospel of John, and then get into a church where there are people are worshiping Jesus and preaching Jesus. Get to other Christian friends. And then you write to us, and we'll tell us about it. We'll send you literature. And we also need your help to carry this on. James says, you have not because you ask not. Because if I don't say anything, you think, well, they're all set. We are, our only income is from God's people. No denomination, no church, no organization, nothing. Just God's people. And so it's up to you. So you pray and you say, now, dear Lord, should I support that? Do you want me to support that program? And then he'll tell you yes or no. If he says yes, then you say, how much? And then he'll tell you how much. You say, that much? And then but you just do what he says. And then you write to us, Chris, I will give it to you for shortwave people, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. And we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And so they audit our books and everything's on the level. Now I want to pray for you. And in our prayer today, every week we pray for our persecuted church. And we're praying for the persecuted church in Pakistan. So dear Heavenly Father, we're praying first of all for all of these people that have opened their heart to you. There have been multitudes. And they're entering, they're part of the body of Christ right now. And then I'm praying, Lord, for the children, the little children who watch us. I'm praying for the young people, Lord, and all for the shut-ins and those on beds of sickness and those who have lost loved ones. You're the balm of Gilead, and you'll help and you'll bless and just be with them. And then, oh God, our brothers and sisters in Pakistan, some of them are dying. Some of them are homeless. Many of them are homeless. And some of them, the parents can't find the children, and the children can't find their folks, and nobody knows where anybody is, and some are dead, and some are hurting. And we pray for the believers in Pakistan, and we know you're with them, and we thank you for your love and kindness. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So now you write to us, and you pray for us. Next week, we'll be back. And we're going to have a wonderful sermon. We always have a good sermon because it's the Word of God. It's the Bible. And so we're going to be looking at this wonderful Savior. And then we'll preach His Word. And then the Holy Spirit will take that Word. And He'll go all over the world. We hear from all over the world. That wonderful Holy Spirit. And He draws people to Himself. And someday we'll all be together in heaven. And won't that be something? God bless you till next weekend.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.